See if you're working now. All right, Acts chapter 4, I'll meet you there in a minute or two as we continue our series on Emboldened. But first, I have to give you a little update about some things going on here on the home front. We had a massive trunk or treat this past Tuesday evening. Judd was flying his drone around, and we got some aerial footage. Now, I know you can't, it looks like a, sort of a fire or something from this angle. That's the street light, and the smoke is billowing out of the church bus, but Caleb Norwood will have to tell you about that when he gets back from his trip seeing family. We had 35 trunks. We gave out, 7,000 pieces of candy. That's not much of a stretch, to be honest with you. There were many people in our community who were just reminded, we're here and we care. Many were invited to our church services and to our Bible classes. Some received Bibles. I think everybody had a great time. Thank you for your help with that. A couple of things that are coming up pretty soon. You may have noticed in your bulletin that we have a Friends Night coming up, actually next Sunday evening. Here's the point of this. Think about neighbor days that we used to do. But somebody said, hey, you know what? A lot of our religious friends and neighbors, they may have commitments on Sunday mornings, but they don't always have commitments on Sunday evenings. So let's give this a try. Next Sunday night, let's just invite some of our friends, neighbors, family members, whoever, to come and to worship with us. And then afterward, let's plan to hang around for 45 minutes, an hour. If you want to be a part of this, bring some finger foods to share. Think potluck style. And we'll just go to the fellowship hall, enjoy some of that. Maybe if you want to bring some games, we can play a few games. We won't go too late because it's a school night. Instead of neighbor day, let's do a friends night and see what happens. Be praying about that. Be inviting people you know to that. That'll be next Sunday evening for our 5 o'clock service and then afterward. Also, we're nearing the end of the year. In fact, on November 12th, that'll be 50 days until the end of 2025, if the Lord wills that we see the end of this year. So here's what we're proposing. Let's spend the final 50 days of the year in prayer. Some of you picked up, I noticed, some prayer prompts that we have made available to you. We've got a different prompt for every day, beginning Wednesday, November 12th. And so we have 50 prompts here, and then just a little line or so explaining each of those prompts. That's just to give you something for which you may pray. We've got plenty of copies of these. They're around at pretty much every entrance, down on this side, and then also just outside on the table at the Welcome Center and at the Family Center. And you've got a little time to get this. We're going to kick it off November 12th. And just join us in prayer for ourselves as a congregation, for our community, and for the mission that has been given to us by Jesus to reach those who need Him with His saving message. Here's something kind of fun that we're going to do to kick off this 50 Days of Prayer campaign. On Wednesday, November the 12th, we're going to have a day of prayer. At the top of every hour, beginning at 7 o'clock in the morning, and going at 8, 9, 10, and so on, all the way down until 6 p.m., we're going to live stream a prayer. And if you're available to tune in either on Facebook or on our website, then you can tune in at the top of every hour and participate in that prayer. We're going to be praying. Some of our men are going to be selected to pray around some of the specific themes over which we will be praying as the year unfolds and concludes. That's going to happen Wednesday, November 12, 7 a.m. until 6 p.m. One more commercial, okay, and then we're going to get to what we're here for. Back at the beginning of this year, we started a brand new podcast that is also syndicated on FM 91, WFHU. It's called Sharing Life, Changing Lives. And on it, we get to interview, well, you, and talk about stories of faith and how Jesus shapes your life. This last week, Kim Scott was on to talk about teaching the Bible to children. And this coming Wednesday, the Lord willing, we'll air an episode from Matt Wallace about whether the church really matters. These have been really wonderful, and they've been very well received. As we get ready for Thanksgiving, though, we've got an idea, and it's something that we need your help with. So some of you picked up some of these, I noticed, in our Bible classes. And this is a little prompt card. And it says, this year I'm thankful for blank because blank. Take this, and between now and next week, adults, I'd like for you to consider one thing for which you are thankful and the reason why. And next Sunday, after either morning or evening worship, we'll have a little phone set up out here and a little microphone, and we'd like to record you basically just telling us in a sentence or so what you're thankful for and why. And we're going to compile all of these into an episode and share it in the coming weeks on Sharing Life, Changing Lives. So adults, November 9. But kiddos, I need your help too. You get the same card and do the same thing. We're going to let the adults practice it first so they can teach you how to really do it. You probably already know. And then on Sunday, November 16th, after either service, we'll have the same phone set up and the same microphone set up, and we'll have you record, and we'll air a whole episode with just our kiddos. So we need your help with that, sharing life, changing lives. We appreciate that very much. Now for what we're really here for. Thanks for your help in helping us accomplish these things. The church prayed for boldness. In fact, did you notice that prayer as Isaac read for us a moment ago? Now, Lord, look upon their threats, Acts 4:29, and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. We're going to continue, Lord, to do what you've told us to do while you continue doing the things that you do, stretching out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They prayed for boldness, and then they received a miraculous sign after they had made this prayer. And they continued to speak the word of God with boldness, Acts 4:31 says. But you know, the early church did not invent this kind of bold praying. It runs throughout the entire story of Scripture. And so I'd like to give you just four examples of bold prayers and what we can learn from them. And then the lesson will be yours. Number one, we go back to the book of Exodus and we look at Moses. And we learn from Moses that emboldened prayers intercede for others. Emboldened prayers intercede for others. Do you pray for folks? Do you pray for their spiritual health in addition to their physical health? Listen to Moses as Moses intercedes for the children of Israel. Moses is up on Mount Sinai talking with God. The children of Israel are down below worshiping a golden calf. And you know how Moses finds out about it? God tells him. It's not that Moses came down and saw it going on. God told Moses, you need to get down there. Here's what's happening. And here's what I'm going to do, Moses. Exodus 32, God says, I've seen this people, verse 9, and behold, they're stiff-necked people. Therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them in order that I may make a great nation out of you. But Moses implored the Lord, his God, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you've brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent did he bring them out to kill them in the mountains, to consume them from the face of the earth? Moses says, God, please turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self. And you said to them, I'll multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven. And all this land that I've promised, I'll give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. Moses, if you will, prayed for the people. Moses stood in the gap for a people who frankly did not deserve that kind of intercession, that kind of mercy, that kind of grace. They're down there worshiping an idol that they crafted on their own. When Moses gets down there, he's going to say, Aaron, what happened? And Aaron's going to be like, I don't know. We threw some gold in, the calf popped out. I'm not really sure how this took place. It's not that God is a ticking time bomb. God has to be provoked to anger. He defaults to love. But here's a moment where God, I believe, tests Moses and says, Moses, I want you to leave my presence. I'm going to continue in doing this. And Moses says, God, with all due respect, rather than making a great nation out of me, do you see the potential here that lies in Moses? Moses can be Abraham 2.0. I'm going to make Abraham a great nation, and Moses, I'm willing to do the same for you. And God would have been completely just in doing that. And Moses says, God, will you please reconsider? And God does. Intercedes for the people. James chapter 5 tells me in verse 16 that really all of us are to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then he says, the effective, or rather the prayer of a righteous person has great power. It is effective as it is working. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He's talking about his Jewish kinfolk, the people that he knows of the Jewish nation. He says, I want them to come to Christ. I want them to be saved. Listen, this morning, bold prayers are not selfish. They are selfless. It takes courage to intercede on behalf of another person, to plead for others when they've fallen short. So I'm just asking, who in your life needs you to stand in the gap and pray for them? To ask God to prick their hearts, that they will come to a knowledge of the truth and to obey what it is that the gospel calls them to do and to be. Do you need to pray a bold prayer? A prayer on behalf of another, interceding for them. In the second place, we make our way forward in the Old Testament to Joshua chapter 10, and we see that emboldened prayers believe in the power of God. Have you looked at Joshua chapter 10? We look over here at verses 12 through 14. Joshua is leading the people in this Canaanite conquest. And there are this alliance of five kings who have set themselves against the people of God. And so now God's people are fighting against essentially five different armies. And God assures them, I am with you. I'm going to deliver them into your hand. But evidently Joshua believes that they need a little more daylight to fight. And so in Joshua 10, beginning at verse 12, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel. And he said, in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Aijalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jashar? Apparently a book of Jewish history that's been lost to us. The sun stopped in the midst of heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. There has been no day like it before or since when the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. All right, last night in the middle of the night, we just magically gained an hour. Did you notice that? Isn't that why you're feeling so refreshed and you're able to pay so much closer attention to the sermon this morning, right? Okay, we don't have that excuse today. On this day, the sun just doesn't set for like a whole day. Joshua prayed and God granted it. Now, would we be so bold to pray a prayer like that? You say, wait a minute. All right, now we're getting a little charismatic here. You know that the age of miracles has ceased. God doesn't work like that anymore. And yet I'm reminded that in James chapter 5, right after James tells us that a prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working, he alludes to the example of Elijah, who prayed that it wouldn't rain and it didn't, and then prayed that it would rain and it did. I guess what I'm saying is, bold prayer takes God at His word. I know that the age of miracles has ceased. I don't really believe that it would be in accordance with God's will for us to pray that the sun would just stand still and not set. But I also believe this, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. Brothers and sisters, can we just be honest? Sometimes our prayers are anemic. Sometimes they fall short. Sometimes they are less than what they really ought to be. Sometimes we act as though we're not talking to the all-powerful God of the universe. May we pray big prayers. May we pray bold prayers. Faith doesn't measure the size of the problem. It remembers the size of the provider. And so may we ask, what if you prayed as if God actually can do the impossible? How do we reach our community with the gospel? Some may conclude that it's too difficult. There's too much working against us, and therefore, we might as well just quit. I say, what if we commit that to prayer and wait and see what doors God will open? Some say there's no chance that brother or sister so-and-so will ever come back to the truth. He or she has wandered away and they've completely engulfed their life with worldliness. I say, what if we prayed about it and asked God to touch his or her heart and asked God to use us as instruments of his righteousness to go and try and at least let this brother or sister who's fallen away know that we love them and we care about them? What if we believed that the God who can move mountains is the God who can touch hearts for him? Amen. Is the God who can equip us to do the very things that he requires of us to do. Bold prayers are prayers that intercede for others. Bold prayers are prayers that believe in God's power. But number three, bold prayers expect God to answer. In 1 Kings 18, verses 36 to 39, we have this huge challenge that is going on. On one side, we have prophets of Baal, a false god, an idol. And we've got all of these prophets, hundreds of them, who have gathered together. And on the other side, we have Elijah, the prophet of God. All right, and the terms of this are pretty simple. We're going to build an altar, and we're going to prepare it in all the ways except for bringing fire. And we're going to call upon the God that we worship and serve to provide the fire. And so the prophets of Baal proceed in this long process of trying to get their God to answer them. And the irony, if not the pity of the situation, is that this is a God that is completely made up. There's no reality to it at all, and therefore no fire comes. They go to the point of even practicing self-harm, trying to get the attention of a God that doesn't exist. And at the end of that exercise, the altar stands there exactly as it was prepared. Elijah, on the other side, in 1 Kings 18, 36 to 39, prays that God would send down fire, and of course, the fire fell. He prayed that God's glory would be seen in a world full of idols. And the people, as a result of the fire coming and not only consuming the altar, but also water that had been placed around in sort of a ditch around the altar, all of that is consumed by fire. And the people fall on their faces in worship of the God of the Bible who answers prayers. Are you praying for you to be great? Or are you praying for God to be glorified? I'm not saying that the two are necessarily antithetical, that one is against the other. What I am saying is God's glory more important to you than your own glory? Is it about your ego, or is it about the gospel of Christ, the word of God, the will of God being done? Elijah's all on his own up there. And the next day, it seems, he's going to have a pretty big moment where he crashes. I feel like I'm the only one left. Nobody is here with me. And God is going to school him on that too in 1 Kings 19. But at least for that moment, it's not about Elijah. Elijah says it's not about him. He wants the glory of God to be displayed. And I'm just wondering, are we praying prayers like that? God, may your glory be seen through us. Not to us, not to us, the psalmist says, be glory, but to you be glory and honor and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Is it about us and us making a name for ourselves, or is it about God and who cares what my name is? May we be a people who pray bold prayers, expecting God to answer. Not that our names will be great, but that His name will be known. May we be a people who pray, even as we've sung this morning, revive us again and allow for those revival fires to begin in our own hearts. Finally, we move to the New Testament and look at Jesus. And we see that a bold prayer, emboldened prayer, surrenders to the Father's will. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, a place that evidently He has frequented throughout His time here on earth. But this time is different. Jesus knows that Judas and an angry mob are on their way, and that in just a matter of moments, Judas will identify Jesus with a betrayer's kiss, leading to Jesus' arrest, a trial in a kangaroo court, and ultimately His own crucifixion. And He prays in the dark, alone, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Father, if there's some other way that this can be accomplished, then let me bypass everything that I'm about to endure. I don't believe that Jesus was for a second doubting the plan of God, the will of God, or even in any way was being not any more committed to that plan, the whole purpose for which He had come. I just think that His humanity is feeling the dread, the stress, the anxiety. Luke says that his sweat became like drops of blood in Luke 22:44. And He feels all of that in this moment. Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass. And then He says, and this is the bold prayer, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? Not merely, not my will, but yours be done. But I'm talking about when praying that prayer was a matter of sacrifice. When you knew that if it were up to you, you would not do what it is that you know God requires of you to do from His Word, and yet, God, your will be done. Maybe you're facing a decision and you don't really know which way to go. You kind of lean one way or the other, and you say, God, please help me to know with wisdom the right way that I ought to go. And God opens some door over here that you weren't expecting, and you have to choose. I think this is the will of God. Not my will, but yours be done. You ever been in a situation where someone has wronged you? And you know you need to pray for that person to intercede for them, as Moses has already taught us. And you know that the Lord requires you to pursue forgiveness and reconciliation. But it sure would be a lot easier to double down, to make them out to be the enemy and me out to be the hero, or at least the victim. Have you ever prayed in that moment, God, not my will, but yours be done? I'm telling you, that's a bold prayer. Father, may your will be done on earth in my life as it is done in heaven. That's a bold prayer. In fact, the book of Hebrews tells me in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, that the night Jesus prayed that prayer, He offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to Him, the Father, who was able to save Him from death, and He was heard because of His reverence. True boldness in prayer is trusting that God's will is better than my will. Are you willing this morning to yield to what God wants? Not my will, but yours be done. Courage isn't always about getting what we want. It's about yielding to what God wants. Sometimes it's much harder to put myself to the side and to say, God, I commit myself to your ways. when the church prays these kinds of prayers, emboldened prayers, just think about what happens. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John and the church gathered together and they prayed for boldness to continue doing the work. In Exodus, Moses prayed an intercessory prayer, and he prayed and a nation was spared. May we be people who pray that God would prick the hearts of those who need Him. In Joshua, Joshua prayed and the sun stood still. And there may be times when we pray a Hezekiah-type prayer. God, will you give us a little more time? Or God, will you give that person a little more time? They're getting close. Please have mercy. Elijah prayed and fire fell from heaven. And may we be a people who pray, God, may unbelievers see your glory. May people who doubt see your glory, and may they see it through us. Jesus prayed, and the world was saved. May we be a people who pray, not our will, your will be done. What might happen in our lives? What might happen in this congregation if we began to pray with that same kind of boldness? Let's find out. 50 days of prayer. You don't have to wait till November 12th. But let's pray together, if the Lord wills, November 12th through December 31st. And let's just see the doors that God will open to us. The opportunities that He'll make available to us. The writer of Hebrews says, let us then draw near to God with confidence. Draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may find mercy and grace to help us in our hour of need. Perhaps this morning your next bold prayer is the first one that you've prayed in a while. Maybe you've been distant from God and you need to come home. Confessing your sin to Him through prayer and believing that He will respond with forgiveness, restoration. Be bold enough this morning to come back to the Father. Be bold enough this morning, if you never have done so, to obey the gospel today, to accept the boldness of God's grace that says your sin is great, but my grace is greater, to come to Him submitting to His will, and to die with Him in baptism, to rise to walk in a brand new life. Will we live as God's people in an emboldened way? Will we pray emboldened prayers? The lesson is yours. And the invitation of Jesus stands open and ready to anyone who needs to respond while we stand and sing.